This evening, as we move through the order of the service, there are some things that we don't normally do in our worship experiences, and that is read a lot of Scripture, and therefore listen to a lot of Scripture. And so tonight is one of those nights when a number of passages are going to be read, and I want to invite you to listen to these passages, if at all possible, like you're hearing them for the first time. And because human nature is very much similar to the nature of the characters and the personalities in these passages, ask yourself how you might fit into these stories. If you were there, and if you were part of that experience, how might you have shown up? Our first reading this evening, which will lead us into the message, is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 28 through 40, and then through chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a bandit. Chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then they handed him over to them to be crucified. The late word. No matter how good our intentions might be, the late word is just too late. A number of years ago, several years ago, there was a TV commercial about a man whose timing was horribly slow. Picture, if you will, an intimate setting in a romantic, candlelit restaurant. And a man is sitting across from a woman who is obviously a romantic interest. And she looks at him and soothingly says, "I love you." He stares back at her, seemingly uncaring and unresponsive. She waits patiently for his response. Then a delicate pause turns into uncomfortable silence, turns into deep insult. And she stands up and takes her beverage and she throws it into his face. And yet he still doesn't move. After she stomps out of the restaurant, we hear him say, as if he were perfectly on cue, "I love you too." Now, I don't have any memory of what that commercial was selling, but I know that timing had something to do with the sales pitch. And their message was that a timely response is always preferable. It's not good to be late. Good things are lost if you are slow or late to the answer or response. Our scripture passage that I read just a few moments ago focuses on a man who is remembered regularly by millions of Christians. His name is spoken in worship services around the world. His memory is routinely invoked, not with honor, but with revilement. His name is the only name that is mentioned in the Apostles' Creed that has no spiritual or biological heritage in the Judeo-Christian tradition. It's a political reference, a nod, if you will, to the power broker of the day. And the early church fathers wanted us to remember that it was, at some level, politics that got Jesus executed. That man's name was Pilate. Pilate was caught in a difficult spot. We can certainly sympathize with that. He comes to Jerusalem during the Passover season in order to keep his thumb on the pulse of the Jews, because the Jewish subjects of the Roman kingdom tended to be more volatile during these holy festivals. And Pilate's presence was designed to suppress and discourage activism. John, in his description of Jesus and Pilate, sort of writes it and it reads more like a dialogue or a discussion rather than a trial. John's version of this encounter is longer, which I'm sure you experienced this evening, than any other version in the other Gospels. It's an intricate case of political maneuvering mixed with a desire for justice. It's part dialogue, it's part interrogation. Pilate and Jesus both know that Pilate's in a tight spot. Jesus is convinced that Pilate is an instrument of God to fulfill God's plan. Pilate merely desires to get out of this political hot potato with his job and his life intact. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asks. "Is that you asking, or have you heard someone else call me that? I came to testify to the truth, and everybody on the side of the truth listens to me." What is truth? It's an amazing conversation. Pilate is both tormented and curious. He finds Jesus intriguing. Whatever it was that caused Jesus to make these priests envious, as Matthew records it, makes Pilate want to find a solution that doesn't end in execution. So he orders Jesus to be flogged, just shy of death. "If it's a pound of flesh that the Jews want, let's give it to them and hope that that will satisfy their threats." But the torture wasn't satisfactory to the chief priests. So, in another political maneuver, Pilate decided to take the case to the people. Every year, a prisoner is released at the time of the Passover in order to create good favor among the people. Pilate, knowing that there was often a disconnect between the popular view of an event or a person and the elitist view of the chief priest, hoped that the people might ask for Jesus to be released. Then Pilate could get out of this political sticky wicket. But the chief priests got to the people first and got them to demand for Barabbas' release. So I don't know if it was in anger or disgust. I don't know if it was in sarcasm and ridicule. But there was a declaration of begrudging respect when Pilate put these words above the sign on Jesus' cross: "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Whatever the reason, it's again a reminder that the most politically powerful person, the Roman governor, couldn't prevent the fulfillment of God's plan. His interrogation, his questions, his dialogue with Jesus once again caused Pilate some sense of philosophical reflection. What is truth? In placing those words, "Jesus of Nazareth is the King of the Jews," it seemed a little bit too little, too late. Pilate chose an alignment. He let his last word about Jesus be the truest of all his words. But in doing so, he also took a side in Jesus' death. And it didn't seem to help anyone. It was too little, too late. Except that it played right into the plan, God's plan. Without a Pilate, there wouldn't have been a resurrection, right? So here's a Good Friday message for you and for me. If you're wrestling this evening with who Jesus is, if you've heard Christ's claims, if you've questioned truth, if you've grown up in the church and you find yourself thinking, "It may be too late for me," I want you to know that it's not too late. Or maybe you wonder if this kind of hope and certainty is beyond you. Don't let your final word, which may be a good word, "Yes, Jesus, I accept you for who you are," happen too late. While there's still time, recalibrate your allegiance. There's a time coming, Scripture says, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That's maybe too late. Would you be willing on this day to stake out a claim of something stronger, a deeper affection, a stronger allegiance than in any time previously? Don't let your final word, which I hope will be, "Yes, Jesus, you are worthy of the lofty title," Don't let it happen too late. While there's still time, today is the best day. Scripture says that there will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and that may be too late. Let's align ourselves to the King of a new kingdom today. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? We are humbled again by the narrative of this story. We can't even imagine all the emotions and the feelings, the pressure that came in that moment, and how easily it would have been for you, Lord Christ, to find another path, to look for another option, to not be transparent and honest, to fudge the truth, to go along with Pilate's nudgings. But we are here today honoring the name of Jesus because you walked this path for us. It's an amazing thought. Help us, Lord, to increase our allegiance. Help us, Lord, to deepen our commitment. Help us, Lord, to find a faith equal to the truth today. On this day, this solemn day, the day of your death, for we ask it in your name. Amen.
Mark 14:43b-50. Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew a sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I was with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scripture be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled.
Mark 15:1-5. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answers? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed.
Mark 15:6-15. Now at the festival he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Mark 15, verses 16 to 20. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the full cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Mark chapter 15, verses 22 through 32. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ah, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him against themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
Mark 15, 33 to 39, the death of Jesus. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that he thus breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Mark 15, 46. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb.